We're continuing. This is a new year, 2020, and we started out Wednesday talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And you need to come to church because every one of us has a gift, and we need to use that gift for the Lord. And you study the scripture, there was a man that he had, God gave out some talent. He hid his talent in the sand. We don't want to do that. We want to use our gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All this is in the scriptures. God wants us to use it. God told Abraham. Now, I know we are not in the dispensation of the law, but God told Abraham that I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing and that you will be a blessing to people. Amen. We as Christians ought to be a blessing to other people. Amen. Amen? And you say, who are the other people? Every person that you come in contact with, save the lost, you ought to be able to be a blessing to them. Amen. So the Bible has given us some words, gifts, it's plural, fruit of the Spirit we're going to be talking about today, blessings, and also there's another word the Bible talks about, nuts. When you get to looking at the scripture, you'll find out that they was fussing one time about the leadership, and God told all the 12 tribes to bring their rod to the house of the God, and the rod that was going to blossom was the one he used, and Aaron was the one that God called to be the high priest. And he laid his rod in the temple, and the next morning it blossomed, and it brought forth fruit and nuts. Y'all remember that in armor? So we ought to have some fruit. So we're going to use one Bible today, one verse today to teach from. Turn to Psalms number 1. And Psalms number 1 is a great psalm. It's giving you two ways of contrasting life. Amen. I tell you, we'll just read the whole psalm. I'll read 1, you read 2, till we get down to verse 6. So we're going to talk about that tree planted by the rivers of water. Psalms, verse 1. That's about in the middle of your Bible. So when you get that, say amen. So I know everybody's there and follow me. Amen. Still your page is turning. So when you get to Psalms 1, say amen. Amen. Okay. Blessed, or another word for blessed is happy, is the man or woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. In other words, he delight coming to church. He delight getting into the word of God. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that we're going to talk about how he got fruit, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 4. In other words, the lost people, the unsaved people, they don't have any fruit for the Lord. They just like the chaff. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This year, 2020, we ought to have some fruit for the Lord. This year in 2020, we ought to use our gifts for the Lord. This year in 2020, we ought to use our talents for the Lord. Amen? Amen? Your ability. I know you say, well, I can sing. Well, why are you not singing for the Lord? I hate to tell you this. You might not know it, but all the singers was given that talent from the Lord. Some of them are using it for the devil. Amen. If you can teach, why aren't you teaching? Paul said there was a time when you ought to be teachers, and you still needed milk. So if you've been in the Word of God, you've been under the Word of God, this year, 2000, we're going to make a calendar. We're going to have vacation Bible school. We're going to have a lot of things. We need teachers. I'm telling you right now in January, in June, we're going to need teachers for the kids. Amen? Amen. So use that gift that you have. You teach everybody else? Use it for the Lord. Amen? Use your gifts for the Lord. So we're talking about gifts. We're talking about things that you have for the Lord. Abilities, talents. Let me just a little bit. I pray after this. Some of you all can organize. That's a gift. That's a talent. Some of you are good in administration. That's a talent. Some of you are good in benevolence and helps and mercy. That's a talent. Some people can draw. That's a talent. Some people can those are gifts and abilities. Amen? Jerry already preached on it. He said, look, I was 20 years in the military, 20 years in the post office. I was the one that got a swimming pool for the whole neighborhood. Let me tell you, that's a gift. Amen. Now, sometimes I have to get on my wife, and sometimes she be saying, "Well, they don't have it." I say, "Everybody ain't organized like you." You know, some people are here to perfection. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Go in the room, the chairs ain't put up. Put your chair up. That's just their personality. So don't get bad because that's their personality. That's them. Amen. The picture's crooked on the wall. Who noticed that? I did. And you have to go in people's room and straighten it up. That's your talent and ability. So guess what? God brings everybody together so each can complement the other. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about, are you using your fruit in 2020 gifts for the Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day. Thank you for the second Sunday of a new year. I think we've heard it so many times. Some people didn't get a chance to come into 2020. We thank you, Lord. You allowed us by your grace to be in a new year. I was out the other day and it was warm. I was saying, how in the world is it going to be 60 degrees in January? Well, Lord, you the one control the weather. So thank you for that. Didn't even have a coat on. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for bringing us to the house of God. Thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson that Jerry so eloquently taught on the commission of the 12 disciples, Lord. And like Jerry said, we are still making disciples today. So, Lord, thank you for us that are in the Word of God, in the Church of God, that want to be learners and want to be discipled by you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our corporate prayer by Deacon Jennings. He prayed about how we need to pray for our young people and how we need to, like the Scripture says, two can agree, we can bind anything on earth. Is already bound in heaven. So let me just say right now, we want to bind all these young people who are getting hopelessness. Let's bind that up today so that they will get some hope and they look to Jesus Christ for their Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Thank you for our congregational singing. Thank you for our congregational praying, our praises. Thank you for, again, our covenant reading. Thank you for, again, recognizing our birthday. Thank you for Jerry being another year old, Lord. Thank you for, again, our spiritual birth, Lord. Thank you for, again, my wife doing an announcement. Thank you for Jerry taking the offering. Thank you for the songs that the praise team just sung and all the songs that we sing, like Brother Jennings said, using our voices, lending our voices, using our prayer life, just everything that we do for your honor and glory. Yes. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, that you forgive me of my sin, that you help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Use me as a conduit, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. That tree that planted by the rivers of water, I want you to know that the roots go down deep. And down deep, when it's dry, since it's by the rivers of water, it can just drain a little of that water into its roots. You ought to be grounded in the Word of God. See, so many Christians are, like we say, they're not deep enough. As soon as a trial comes, they fall over. Well, let me tell you, if you ground in the Word of God, the wind might blow you over a little bit, but soon as it go, you're going to straighten back up. Because I'm rooted and grounded in Jesus. Amen? Amen? I don't tell you, there's no other foundation than that that laid that Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven that you can be saved. There's no other person. Let me tell you, we need to be grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This new year, tree planted by the rivers of water. In Egypt, when they came and spied out the land, to go into Canaan, they went back and they said there's a land of milk and honey. Y'all remember that? And when they took Joshua and Caleb went over there, they brought back them big old pomegranates, the big old grapes. So the land had fruit, and it had fruit. Those are the type of fruits that we need to have in our lives. We need to have the fruits of the Spirit. Turn to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 5. You've got it, but we're going to read it again so you'll get it today. Galatians chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. And we're just going to read two verses, verse 22 and verse 23. Still here, page yourself. When you get there, say amen. Read 22 and 23, amen. 1, 2, 3. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, when you get to gifts, it's plural. There's a gift, again, mercy, a gift for healing. But when you get to fruit, it's singular. So what it's saying is every Christian ought to have these nine clusters in their life. This year, 2020, you ought to have these nine clusters. They're in groups of threes. And we're going to talk about them today. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, again, when a tree bears fruit, it takes time. A tree has to grow. And once a tree grows, when the fruit, it has to get ripened. So you don't get these fruits by just being saved. You have to continue to yield every day to the Word of God. Amen? We want to examine the first three clusters: love, joy, and peace. We'd heard it all in our Sunday school lesson. You know, Jesus said, "They'll know you my disciples if you have what? Love one to another." He didn't say they'll know you my disciples. You can quote all the law. He didn't say they'll know you my disciples if you can come to Sunday school every day. He said they'll know you my disciples if you have love one to another. This church ought to be emanating with love. We ought to love one another. When one is blessed, we ought to be blessed. When one is honored, we ought to be honored. When one is suffering, we ought to suffer. When one has sickness, we ought to be also crying. Amen? When Charlotte was telling us about a friend of ours, tears welled up in my heart because I began to think of a young 19-year-old boy, and I have a passion for black young boys. And I go into the community. I work at the school, and if I can get the young boy to get under the Word of God, I tell people, I used to say this all the time, I don't care if it's 100 preachers, if they want to line up and be taught the Word of God, then we can use them, because all the stuff that's going on in the world don't look like we're making any dent. So what would 100 preachers do? They need to go out and give the gospel. Yes. Just think of a young boy, get right with the Lord. Our speaker for the anniversary shared his testimony. He said, "I was 16 years old when I got saved." Y'all remember David, they're going to come back from New York. And he said, I've been Catholic all my life. Y'all know the story. He said, "Then I got saved." He said, "Then somebody said, you need to go to seminary." And then they turned him right after he graduated from high school and pushed him into seminary. And then he went 4 years of Bible college and seminary, and then they ordained him for the preacher, and then he's going back to Europe, and he's excited. Amen. Sent me one of those Facebook friends. You know how people want to be your Facebook friend. So I'm his friend on Facebook. And then he asked me, "Do you know any preachers, black preachers?" So I sent him a name, all the black preachers I know were solid. And then he sent me a comment and said, "Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. I can't wait to get back. I'm excited." Well, guess what? I'm excited too. Young man, young man. Let me tell you, if I can get a young man to sit under the Word of God, me and Jerry been talking about that, and be disciple and be taught, that's something to shout about. I didn't know how to love my wife because nobody told me. I didn't know how to bring my money home. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to go to club when I was in the BC day. But when I got saved, the Holy Spirit taught me. Oh, I didn't have a daddy that taught me. Now, I'm not trying to belittle my dad, but he wasn't saved. Oh, y'all don't mean to preach, do you? So you got to understand that God knew what I needed. Like Jerry said, I got so zealous. I was so excited. I went and told everybody on my job, "I got saved." They looked at me like, "Oh, he gone off." I said, "I'm saved." I was so excited. I mean, y'all just let me give a little testimony. I had been searching for, you know, trying to say, "Where come on, I don't have this peace in my life." You know, I used to go to the happy hour. I used to, you know, do stuff and try to get peace. I never get no peace. But the day I met Jesus, oh, man, I was so excited. I told you about it. I was going to New Orleans, and they was flying across the ocean, and the plane went in some turbulence, and the pilots told everybody to cock down like that, and everybody was scared. And I was looking at the clouds, "Oh, God, you good." They said, "You ain't going to bend over." I said, "Well, this is God's handiwork." I said, "If I go home, I'll be with Jesus." They looked at me crazy. Then the plane leveled out and started descending. Everybody looked at it. I said, "Isn't that a blessing?" I had never seen the clouds like that before. You know, when you see them for the first time and you realize that God owns the plane, God owns the cloud, God owns your life, it don't matter. Flew right in to New Orleans and all that water. I started looking at the ocean. I said, "Oh, that's beautiful. I never seen it like that before." God is a great God. We ought to have, the Bible says, unfeigned charity toward all men. The Bible says we need to love one another. He told them that there are no, Romans 10:10 say, love worketh no ill toward his brother. Now, if you love somebody, I think I heard it today from Charlotte, you need to learn to forgive. People going to do you wrong, folks. Let me help you out. Some of your best buddies going to do you wrong. Forgive them. Some of your family going to do you wrong. Forgive them. They're human. They can't measure up. I mean, they say something, you say, did they say that? Yeah, they said it. But they made a mistake. So just learn how to forgive. So we need to love, folks. Love, here it is, covers a multitude of sin. Amen. You won't be looking at their fault because you got plenty too, right? So you just cover it up. First Peter say, love the brotherhood. Be tenderhearted. Be kind. That song we used to sing, we're one in the spirit, one in the Lord. They say, they'll know we are Christian by our love. Now, let me get it to you real clear. I'm not talking about the world definition of love. See, in the Greek, that's four definitions for love. But see, the world has eros love. That's animalistic love. When a man tells a woman, I love you, but he ain't really loving her. He's thinking about his lust. And I'm not talking about that type of love. I'm not talking about that. And then there's a phileo love, which is brotherly love. And then that's kind. But what I want you to think about is there's a agape. There's unconditional love. That's love that doesn't have to pay anything in return. You know, a lot of times we buy presents for people like on Christmas because we think they're going to give us something back. Look, that's not love. Love is when you give them something expecting nothing in return. Amen. Give it to them. Don't worry about paying me back because I know God. By the way, if God gave it to me, he can give me some more. We get so caught up, well, they got my $500. Well, so what? God give you another $500. Stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. Sometimes folk do you wrong on purpose. But guess what? You in God's hand. So even when they do you wrong, God has still got you covered. Amen? We need to have this love. That's one of the first of the clusters. Love. We need to have love. Then the Bible says joy. Do you have that joy? Jerry already preached that. I'm not talking about the joy that the world gives you. See, the world gives you happiness, and happiness depends on happenings. If it go right, then you're happy. If it don't go right, you're sad. Now, joy comes deep down. It don't matter what's going on. I'm going to still have joy. Amen? Joy. It's impossible, here it is, for a Christian to have a loving spirit and have a bitter joy. Now, if you love and you ought to have joy, you ought to have joy all the time. You ought to have sunshine in your life. You ought to have sunshine. You ought to have, Paul said it like this in Philippians. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I said, rejoice. Now, you think Paul was sitting in a big restaurant? No, Paul was in jail. Paul was in Philippian jail. They had Paul down in a hole. They had Paul locked up, tearing God. And Paul said, I rejoice. Because I'm in the will of God. I don't care what's come, what goes. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? The Lord gives us joy. Let me help you if you don't know it. God is still on the throne.
Yes, he is.
On the throne. Amen. He reigns. Amen? Somebody told me they had this guy put up a sign. He rings and he misspelled the word ring and put a resign. I'm telling you, God ain't gonna resign, okay? Let me tell you, he ain't gonna resign, he ain't gonna quit. You ain't gonna put him out of office. He's on the throne and he's the one. He said, the joy that I give to you, no man take us away. The joy that I give, the world can't get it. Let me tell you, I have the joy of the Lord down in my soul. Let me tell you, I'm a joy no matter when my bills are paid, when I don't have no money, when I'm sick, when my body's aching, I'm a joy because God gave me joy. And by the way, this is a new year. So I'm going to say joy. Thank you, Lord, for your joy. Amen? Amen. We need to learn how to joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, there's the presence, in our presence is fullness of joy. God gave us joy. We need to joy all the time. We need to joy in the tribulation. This wasn't even my message, but I just talked about the Hebrew boys. When King Nebuchadnezzar was so mad, he said, I'm going to give you another chance to bow. I can see him and say, no, I got joy in him. Say, King, you don't have to give us another chance. We heard the first time. But let me tell you, King, it don't matter. We serve a God who's able to deliver. And even if he don't, I still got this joy down in my heart. So guess what? I think I heard Tony Evans' son say at the funeral. I don't know if you get a chance to get on Facebook. He had this funeral. He said, God answered my prayer. God said, your mama is going to be healed in heaven.
Amen.
He said, I was all worried. He said, no, it's going to be another family reunion, just like you had one here. When you get to heaven, you'll never know. He said, I know you were saying, I want her to be healed. He said, I'm going to heal her, all right, but she's going to be in heaven. Let me tell you, that joy, you can't take it away.
Amen.
And he said, I'm rejoicing because my mama's prayers was answered. I'm rejoicing because I see my mama again. I'm rejoicing because I know who the Lord is. Let me tell you, if you want to see your loved one and they're going to heaven, you need to get saved yourself.
Amen.
Like the preacher said, don't be crying for them. Cry for yourself.
Amen.
You still got to live down in this wicked world. Amen. They're going on heaven, by the way. They wouldn't come back if you asked them to. On the streets of gold, walking around talking to Jesus. Amen? So it's going to be a joy. So love, do you have that love this year? Joy, do you have that joy this year? And the third one in that cluster is peace. Oh, you don't mean peace, little peace. The Bible's saying there's two type of peace. There's the peace with God and the peace of God. See, most of us have the peace with God because we say, but then you ain't got no peace down here. Let me tell you, if you keep your mind on him, he'll give you peace.
Amen.
I'm talking about the peace that passes all understanding. See, people, the world can't understand how you're so happy and everything going and falling around you. That's all right, God is in control. Look, I know God gonna work it out. I remember one time they was giving everybody pink slips and layoff slips, and I wasn't even worried about it because I knew God was gonna take care of me. And a guy came to me, he was all upset. He said, Jada, we're getting laid off. You ought to be filling out all these job applications. You ought to be online. I say, come lunchtime, I'm going to read my Bible. Because God is in control. I had the peace. By the way, did y'all know God knew I had a house note? Did y'all know God knew I had a wife and two children? So what do I have to worry about? Now, I'm not going to the ultimate extreme where people don't do anything. No, I filled out application that I felt I was qualified. I did it, but I left in the hand of God. I had peace that passes all. I had another friend. He was so upset with losing his job. His face, he started getting, what is it, dementia? The balls. And I saw him. I said, what's the matter? He said, man, I'm stressed. I got children. I got to help. I said, yeah, you ever thought about Jesus? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Jesus, that's what you always, I don't know why black folk every time somehow they run to Jesus. Let me tell you, Charlotte said today, you don't need to run to Jesus when you're in trouble, run to him all the time. run to him when the bills are paid, when everything looking good. I got up on Christmas and all my family was there and they opened a gift and I said, thank you, Lord. And when everybody was doing fine, when nobody's sick, thank you, Lord. Let me tell you, thank him when the good time. And then when the bad time come, you'll be like Daniel. They said, Daniel, we're going to throw you in the lions den. Daniel said, well, I've been praying three times a day, every day, so I don't think it's going to matter. They said, Daniel, you better not pray. He said, better not. Let me open my wound up. I want y'all to see this. I'm going down and praying. I've been doing it for a long time, and you ain't going to stop me now. Matter of fact, Daniel was so excited that when they opened the cave up and dropped him down, the king was all nervous. Daniel said, King Darius, live forever. And God then sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion. You know what I'm saying? He had the joy. You got to have some joy. I don't want to get on your women because I know, but my wife get emotional sometimes. Well, what about this? I said, what about it? I can't do nothing about it. I can't worry about it. And by the way, everybody want to know, how do you pray? Just like you worry, about everything, start praying about everything.
Amen.
You worry, oh, how this is going to turn out? What's going to happen next? How am I going to be this? Well, just start praying about it. We just said it like this. Pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Let me help you out. Just like you breathe air, you breathing now, pray like that.
Amen.
Jerry was talking about he had a prayer cloth all the way from Saudi Arabia. I don't care what kind of prayer cloth he had. Just pray. Just pray. Got a place in your... And by the way, you ought to have a prayer closet. It ought to be somewhere in your house that you can pray, that nobody know about. See, I don't have to have an audience to pray. No, I want her to hear me pray. Let me get close. No, I don't need that. When I pray by myself. Matter of fact, I wish nobody was at the house so I can shout to the Lord and I can holler out to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm going through a time. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, if you don't answer, come nobody else answer. I'm like, Peter, where should I go? You got the words of eternal life. So, Lord, you need to show up because I need help. And as soon as I get up, God didn't already answer my prayer. I'm telling you, he's a good God. He still answers prayer. You need to learn how to pray. Got to have that peace. You know, we're worried about world war and the third world war and worry about the president may call. I don't care what he do. I got peace down in my heart. I had a guy over at IBM. He said, you need to go to Israel with us. You know how we be saying, well, you know, Israel, they high bombing. And all. He said, look, in the will of God, you got peace wherever you go. He said, you see all that on the news? Don't worry about that. He said, I'm in Israel. Matter of fact, I got Alan Law and his wife in Israel. He said, we're in Israel every day. So look, in the will of God, you have peace. My niece was in the military. She just had a baby. Just bought a new house, got her orders to go to Afghanistan. My sister called me and said, I got to take care of the baby because she's going to Afghanistan. But I said, but you know what? She's in God's hand. God will protect her. My sister got peace because she know God is able. I tell my daughter all the time, if he ain't able, he need to quit being God then. Well, what you think about this? I say, ain't he still God? Ain't he still on the throne? Well, Daddy, I don't care what you say. If God can't do it, then he need to resign. But the God I serve is omnipotent. The God I serve is all-powerful. The God I serve is all-present. He can do whatever he wants to, and my job is just to accept what he do. Stop worrying about things you can't handle. I told her, say, you remember the serenity prayer? The things that you cannot change, don't worry about them. Matter of fact, there have been a lot of people that say, you know, the stuff we worried about don't ever happen anyway. We worry about all that stuff. Well, what did this happen? Well, what did this? Stop worrying about it. Stop praying about it. Point number one, do you have the clusters of love, joy, and peace? Point number two in that group is long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Now, most of us don't have long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. We are impatient people. You want to know how I know you're impatient? Because when you go to the doctor, they call you a patient because you can't wait. When he going to call me? I've been out here 2 hours. Let me tell you, you got to be a patient. The doctor going to get to you. Be patient. We don't have patience with people. Matter of fact, I was at a thing the other day. And the speaker was speaking. And he's speaking about the old and the young. And this is what he said. And he was telling the truth. He said, you old people need to be patient with young people. They ain't got it yet. Sometimes we don't give them enough patience. We're impatient with them. Well, I don't understand why she can't get it together. Well, I don't understand why she can't do the kids like this. And I don't understand why she, hold on a minute. She ain't but 21. You 51. You got a lot of experience on her. So give her some patience. On our job, I applied for a promotion. Why they ain't do it? Be patient. I'm so glad that when I applied for jobs and I didn't get them, I didn't know why I didn't get them. Didn't find out the person who got them got laid off. I said, oh, God had a plan. God had a plan. You know, stop worrying about things. Be patient. Be patient with your neighbor. Be patient with your family. You know, some of the harder people to be patient with is your family folk. They rub you the wrong way, you know. You got to learn how to be patient with them. Be patient with them. Be patient with them. I got brothers, and they all ain't saved. You know, so I have to be patient. Be patient. You got to be patient with people that you work with. Jerry was talking about it in the Sunday school lesson. Some of the people that you be close to stabbed in the back. Well, you got to be patient with them. You got to be patient with them. They ain't got it all together. You remember Peter? Oh, y'all don't want me to preach. Peter told Jesus, though every man forsake you, I won't. Jesus looked straight at Peter and said, Peter, before the cock crow three times, you're going to act like you ain't even know me. Peter was his closest man. Matter of fact, he was the keynote speaker on Pentecost. He was the one that always was standing up for the Lord. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord, if that's you, let me walk on the water. He did all that talk. And soon as they got Jesus arrested, and a man said, he was with him. I don't know the man. I don't know him. And then he got a little closer to the fire. And another guy said, wait a minute. that looked like, he looked like a Galilean. You know, Peter put out his knife and cut off his ear. He said, yeah, you was with him. No, you mistaken. I wasn't with him. Close to Jesus. And then that little girl came out. She put the icing on the cake. She said, I know you went because you sound just like him. Peter said, well, I'm going to change my voice real quick. I'm going to have to use a couple of choice words here. The Bible said Peter began to curse and to swear. With him. So don't give up. But guess who was long suffering with Peter? Jesus was. He is like Deacon Jen said, he's our example. While all that was going on, he was standing there looking at Peter the whole time. And the Bible said he looked at Peter, then said, loving eyes. Peter went out and cried like a baby. You know why? Jesus was long suffering. Matter of fact, he was so long suffering with it that when he resurrected from the tomb, he told them, now go tell my disciples and Peter. He called his name out because he was long suffering. And he was so long suffering that when Peter went to fishing, when Jesus came back, he called Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? You need to be long suffering with people. We need to stop being impatient. Here it is. Long suffering. Gentle. I don't know what the problem is, but Christians are coming to the hardest people. Learn how to be gentle to people. Gentle. Kind to people. Say kind word. The Bible says a kind word turn away wrath. I heard this preacher say, when me and my wife got married, she was so sweet I could have ate her. And then he said, I wish I had ate her after that. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. God has given everybody the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you need to learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be kind. You need to be gentle. And the Bible says goodness. Goodness is just doing good, doing everything that brings goodness to the Lord. Goodness is having a good spirit. It's having a good, using your gifts and use your talent. Just be good. Young people know how to be good. They know when they're bad, so they know when they're good. Well, preacher, how do I be good? Obey your parents. Obey your teacher. Do your homework. Do your chores. Say yes, ma'am. Say no, ma'am. Those are good things. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't get with the game. Those, you know what's good and what's bad. So the Bible says you need to exercise the gift of goodness. Now, don't be like the rich young ruler. Jared already preached on that. Good master, I've been doing everything. No, you haven't been doing everything, nothing. You got a little money in the bank. He said, I tell you what, since you want eternal life, he said, what must I do to inherit life for the ages or eternal life? Jesus looked right past all that and saw covenant in his heart. Now, covenant is when you want money and more money. And he had a little money in his bankroll. And Jesus said, if you really want to please God, sell everything that you got and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. Now, Jesus was really checking on his heart. See, if the man had been willing, he probably wouldn't have had to do it. But the Bible says he turned and what? Walked away. Jerry was talking about that today. You tell people what it costs to serve the Lord, they say, I can't do that. No, what you need to do is come empty-handed. Give everything that you have. And sometimes God give it all right back because he did to Zacchaeus. He gave it right back. Number one, you need to have the cluster of love, joy, and peace. Number two, you need to have the second cluster of long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And then the last one, the cluster I close on, is faith, meekness, and temperance. Faith is just trusting God. The Bible says we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. So many times we want to see things. We need to learn how to walk by faith. It's depending on God. Depending on God for, let me tell you, this year, 2020, there are going to be some things that are going to happen in your life. You're going to have faith. You're not going to know how it's going to happen. Most of us, like me, have to go to the doctor, and they have to take a blood test. Matter of fact, one of my best friends, just yesterday, me and my wife had to rush to the hospital. His whole left side got numb. They called the paramedics. The ambulance came. When the ambulance came, They had to say, did you take your blood pressure medicine? He hadn't took his blood pressure medicine. He took his blood pressure medicine. And then they had to rush him to the emergency room. When they got the emergency room, they had to take a blood test. And they had to do, and by the way, you never know what's going to happen in your life. Then next thing I heard, they sent a text saying, well, they finna take an EKG. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So they did all that, then all that checked out. Then they said, we're going to have to do an MRI. I said, what's that? Well, because he got a whole one side was gone. We never know. But you know what? I went to see him. He's a Christian. And we were just joking in the hospital. You know how a Christian do. He said, you know, I ain't never been sick. I'm just praising the Lord. He said, you know what? When I got him, everything cleared up. I said, they got done you in the medicine? Yeah. He said, ain't give me no medicine. I said, what did they do? He said, I just told them that I hadn't took my blood pressure, man. They told me to take it. He said, my whole side straightened up. And he was just talking just as normal. And then they said, well, you can do an MRI tonight, or you can wait till tomorrow. He said, send me home. He went home. Done all right. Then the next day, I went back to the hospital. He said, I'm still waiting on them to come get me. I said, what you waiting on? He said, they said, I need an MRI. But I want you to tell you, he had faith in the Lord. Amen. Your doctor may not have all the answers, but there's a one greater than me called Dr. Jesus. Amen. Have faith in the Lord. And then be meek. The word meek, some people think it's weak, but it's not being weak. Moses was the meekest man on the face of earth. Meek just means having power under control. Learn how to be meek. Yeah, there's some things that you could do, but just let them go. I told you about this guy. He just got saved. He came out of Chicago. He was a gang member. And he had one of these big old physique. He had these big old biceps, and he was a big old guy. And one day they was picking on this young guy, and he told him, he was a Christian. He said, why don't y'all leave that guy alone? He said, the guy is just small. Stop bullying him. And they bowled up to him. They said, we'll jump on you. And he said, at that moment, his biceps started flicking. You know. And he thought about, now he don't know where I come from. I came from Chicago. I came from the street gangs. I beat him to a spot. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, walk away. Don't show out. And he said, he told the guy, say, man, y'all gone about your business. I don't want to fool y'all. And he said, he know right then that it was the Holy Spirit of God. Because back in the day, he let them have it. So we need to learn how to be meek. And then temperance. We need to have the temperance. Temperance means having self-control. The Bible says, put on therefore holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of spirit, meekness, not weakness. The Bible says, forgiving, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. Let me tell you, you have no right to hold a person hostage about not forgiving them, because Christ has forgiven you. Amen. I ain't going to forgive them. They done me wrong. Well, what would Jesus say about you? All the mess you did. By the way, every one of us got skeletons in the closet. Amen? And guess what? He nailed them to his cross. He buried them in the ocean. He forgiven you. And guess what? If God forgave you, you ought to have the power to forgive others. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care how bad it is. Forgive them. God said we need to learn how to forgive. We need to put on charity. We need to let the peace of God rule in our heart. We need to learn how to love people, be kind to people, be gentle to people. Did you know you catch more flies with honey than you would vinegar? So you need to be kind to people. So we need to have this fruit of the Spirit. Temperance. We need to learn how to control our attitude. We need to learn how to, this is what the Bible says in 1 Timothy. It says, treat the younger women as sisters with all purity. I know so many guys go to church looking for a woman. You know, that's the wrong place. You need to go to church looking for a sister. You need to treat that woman as your sister. Amen? Then the Bible says, honor widows. And the Bible says, elder women, we need to treat them as mothers. I'm not that young, but some of the ladies in here are like mothers to me. And that's a blessing. Amen? So I want to treat them as mothers. And then it says treat the elder men as fathers. Like Brother Jennings is on. You know, we want to treat him as our father. And as he come and give us the word of God, it ought to be a blessing. Amen? Treat the younger men as brothers. Me and Jerry, we want to be like brothers to each other. You know, I go by his house. I told my wife who was over at the neighbor house, and I said, I was at Jerry's house, and the guy that used to own the house pulled in the driveline. And me and Jerry was in there talking. He said, he's just having to be a white dude. He said, can I look at the house? Jerry said, come on in. He said, you know, my daddy bought this house. And then he said, oh, you done added this room. And oh, you added this room. And we just had a great time. And me and Jerry were just saying, isn't that a blessing? We just had a great time. So treat each other with kindness. I'm going to park on this one. And I see it all the time on Facebook, and you see it. They say this. When a black man see another black man, reach out to Olive Blanche. Say, nice to meet you, nice to see you. If we start treating each other with kindness, it wouldn't be all this killing. Wouldn't be all this gang banging. I mean, it's sad that young black boys can't get along. They need to come to the Lord. Because you need to, matter of fact, I was at, I had to drive to Murfreesboro. I had to see a client. I was on my way back, and I had on a suit and tie. And as I was coming from Murfreesboro, I stopped at one of these little hick town at Wendy's to get something to eat. And there was a black guy, a young black guy, and his girlfriend there. And when I walked in, he said, man, I like that suit you got on. When I grow up, I want to be just like you. And I said, you don't see that. A young black man, and I say, man, I said, all you got to do is just give your life to the Lord and just live. But I'm saying most of the time it's jealousy and envy. So we need to learn how to see each other and be happy for each other and be praising God for them. I'm so glad. You know, it hurt my heart that Tony Evans lost his wife because I got a wife. But I'm still praying for him, amen? I mean, we need to pray for one another. Some of our kids are doing great in school. I think about Shayla going to farming school. I think about Taya. I think about Janika. We ought to be grateful and thankful, amen? That's a blessing. That's a blessing that we got kids that are moving. I told my wife the other day, I said, we ought to be thankful. God is a good God. For us to come, by the way, let me help you out, from the projects, from the ghetto to where we at today. God is good all the time, and all the time, we got air conditioning in our house. Amen? Oh, y'all don't remember the day when we didn't have air conditioning. Y'all remember the day? Matter of fact, they used to come to church and roll the windows down. Matter of fact, I was in the Caribbean's. They don't even have air conditioning because it's just the flies be flying in, but they be praying the Lord. They say, it's a great day today, ain't it? But we ought to be grateful. We got jobs in some of the nice buildings. Amen? We got homes, two or three cars. Preacher! Two or three TVs. Big old plasma TV. Oh, y'all mean preacher. Got one in this room, man. One in that room. We got cell phones, tablets, computers. Amen? I got a Bible upstairs and Bible downstairs. by the way, we used to didn't have that. Matter of fact, we was at the thing yesterday, and the lady had 10 children. And then we was talking about how we all didn't have nothing when we grew up. My wife is from a 13 family, another free surrounding. It was 17 of them. Jerry, how many of y'all?
Seven.
We all lived in a shotgun house. Amen? Living room, bedroom, kitchen. My mama put all the boys in all the boys. But guess what? Now we got two or three bedrooms. Y'all don't want me to preach, but y'all don't remember the outhouses, do you? I'm going to tell one. I will tell it. I lived in the country. That was an outhouse that we used to have to go to the outhouse. Oh, you say you ain't in? Oh, yeah, I did. Before we had. Didn't have, here it is, didn't have sewers in the system. God, now, when I bought my house, we had a septic tank. Then they hooked me up to the sewer. I got everything lined. I got running water. Don't have to go to the well. Oh, y'all remember them days, don't you? We ought to be thankful. God is a good God. We got houses. We got land. We got jobs. Matter of fact, I remember, y'all don't mean to preach on this one. We had to have clothes handed down from my bigger brother, my younger. So y'all remember them days? You better put that on. He didn't outgrow that. That's okay. Jimmy can get in it. Today we got here to walk-in closet. Oh, y'all may preach. Got a whole row. I don't want to preach to you women, but we got shoes all the way up. I ain't got nothing to wear. What? You ain't got about 1,000 dresses. Shoes, clothing. We ought to be grateful.
Amen.
God has brought us a mighty long way. So what we need to do is be kind, be gentle, be controlled, have faith, have love, have joy, have peace. And most of all, we need to love. Jesus said like this, there's two commandments that the whole law, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, thy strength, and thy soul. And then he said, but love your neighbor, what? We need to start loving each other. Now, I'm not just talking about Christians. We need to learn how to love lost people. Because if you love lost people, they will want what you have. They want the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for starting out this year looking at the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. We know there's 9 clusters in the book of Galatians. And we need to amplify. We need to exemplify all those, Lord. So help us, Lord, to start showing those gifts. Help us, that fruit. Help us to start to having all the fruit of the fullness. Like the Bible says, a tree planted by the rivers of water shall bring forth its fruit in due season. So help us to bring forth fruit this year to bring honor and glory to you. For the name of Jesus I pray, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with your head bowed. And we'll just sing a verse or two of I've Decided to Follow Jesus. And again, if God has spoken to your heart about these clusters of fruit, ask the Lord to use you this year to exemplify this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.